Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now, you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. All right, glad you're with us. Happy Friday and the Sean Hannity Show. We start today with some breaking news. This out of Washington, Sean Spicer, who is the press secretary for the president, has resigned today. We have a new communications director, and that would be Anthony Scaramucci. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders is now officially in the role as press secretary for the president. Let's go to Anthony Scaramucci. He's been a close personal friend of mine for a long time. Know him well. He really killed it in this press conference. And Sean Spicer, by the way, he wanted a fresh start for the president. And I'll tell you, he's taken a lot of unfair attacks, and I in some ways I feel bad for him, but I thought he did a good job, very difficult circumstances with such a hostile media. But here's Anthony as he took to the podium for the first time today.
I want to make a couple of statements. The first thing I want to say is I want to thank personally Sean Spicer, not only on behalf of myself, the president, the administration, but Sean is a true American patriot. He's a military serviceman. He's got a great family. And he's done an amazing job. This is obviously a difficult situation to be in, and I applaud his efforts here, and I love the guy, and I wish him well, and I hope he goes on to make a tremendous amount of money. As it relates to me in this position, I'm going to spend a couple of weeks getting to know the people here, and I'm going to be as coordinated as I can with the people inside the West Wing. There's been some speculation in the press about me and Reince, so I just want to talk about that very quickly. Reince and I have been personal friends for 6 years. We are a little bit like brothers, where we rough each other up once in a while, which is totally normal for brothers. There's a lot of people in here that have brothers, and so you get that. But he's a dear friend. He brought me into the political system. He brought me into the Republican National Committee network. He introduced me to Governor Walker. We've spent many times together socially. A lot of people are not aware about this, but after the Romney campaign, I invited Reince into Skybridge. I think it reflects poorly on Reince that he didn't take my offer to come in and be our chief operating officer. But I say that in jest, obviously. And so what I want you guys to know is that he was my first call this morning. I met with him before we sat in the Oval Office. And we are committed as true professionals to the team and the process of getting the administration's message out. And I think that's going to be one of the big goals for us. I said during the transition, I'll say it up here, I think there's been at times a disconnect between the way we see the president and how much we love the president and the way some of you perhaps see the president. And I certainly see the American people probably see the president the way I do. But we want to get that message out there. And to use a Wall Street expression, there might be an arbitrage spread between how well we are doing and how well some of you guys think we're doing. And we're going to work hard to close that spread.
Anthony Scaramucci has been a close friend of mine for many, many years, and I know him really, really well. We have almost identical backgrounds. He's been very successful on Wall Street and business, and there's been so much speculation, press, false, mostly false as usual. And he's a guy that had very humble beginnings, worked his way up. And the thing that I've always loved about him is he's a very, very humble, gracious person. And you saw that today in his first press briefing. And let's go to the CNN question for just a second. Let's just play that.
In terms of the relationship that this press operation has had with news outlets, I mean, they've made a habit of calling news outlets they don't like fake news, calling stories they don't like fake news, calling errors that were then corrected, using that as an example to call entire news outlets fake news. Is that the kind of relationship you want with media outlets?
I want to speak for myself right now because it's my first day on the job. I got to get familiar with everybody, get direction from the president. But I had a personal incident with your news organization, and I thought I handled it well. You guys said something about me that was totally unfair and untrue. You retracted it and issued me an apology, and I accepted the apology immediately. And so for me, I've never been a journalist, but I have played a journalist on television. I used to host Wall Street Week for Fox Business. And so I have empathy for journalists in terms of sometimes they're going to get stories wrong, but I sort of don't like the fake news. And if you said to me that there's some media bias out there, if you want me to be as candid as I would like to be with you guys, there feels like there's a little bit of media bias. And so what we hope we can do is de-escalate that and turn that around, and let's let the message from the president get out there to the American people.
Bam! Boom! That was a slam dunk. And you know what? I couldn't be that nice. He was so gracious about it. And yeah, CNN did have to retract. They did have to issue an apology. And yeah, they were wrong. Look, I don't think there's any doubt. I think, and this is why I have some sympathy, and I've known Sean Spicer. I'll talk to him tonight. He'll be on Hannity. But the reason I've always had sympathy for his job, and I would kid around the times I saw him, and I said, oh, man, you got the most brutal job in the White House. And he always did it with good cheer himself. He's former military, tough guy, strong, amazing, loyal. And probably these are unprecedented times. And I don't think anybody could have anticipated just how awful, God awful, the news media would be. 24/7, nonstop, Russia obsession, Russia, 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 gotcha. You've got these TV cameras. They throw the TV cameras on, and all of these so-called journalists, fake journalists, they all want their minute in the sun so then they can go on TV. Look, I took on the Trump administration tonight. And that would be what they would air on TV. There has been more fake news stories than at any other point that I've ever seen in my life. Even they are retracted. There's been more collusion exposed, more corruption exposed. And so anybody coming into that environment, which is difficult in and of itself, I've known Ari Fleischer for years. I've known Dana Perino for years. I knew Tony Snow for years. I don't think there's a tougher job in the White House. Now, Anthony is not going to be the press secretary. That's going to be Sarah Huckabee Sanders. That is a tough job. But certainly getting a hold and understanding the environment that we live in here, which is unprecedented, which is some of the hypocrisy that I keep pointing out to you in this audience regularly. If it's so bad that you can't have foreign influence of elections, then why did Obama do it and try and unseat Benjamin Netanyahu? Why did he use tax dollars? If it's so bad, why did the DNC have a paid operative meeting at the Ukrainian embassy with the Ukrainian ambassador and the Ukrainian ambassador disseminating false information to try and help Hillary and hurt Trump? And then, of course, information being passed from the Ukraine to the DNC and to Hillary Clinton's campaign, according to Politico. I got in a bit of a spat today with fake Jake Tapper over at the fake news network CNN. And so finally I just said, enough is enough. I remembered one of his fake news stories. And I went back and I looked, and sure enough, there it was. Our friends at Media Research had it up. And this was from WikiLeaks. And let's see, this was the day before the election. And we talked about collusion with places like CNN and a few other places. It was exposed and questions being leaked. And, nobody ever really spent enough time on how the election was rigged. Could you imagine if you supported a candidate, one of the 17 candidates, and you found that there was open collusion with the RNC to elect one of those candidates? I think you'd be pretty ticked off. I think you'd be pretty angry. And that's what they did to Bernie Sanders. And there's evidence of it. They absolutely rigged the election. Why did they rig the election? They rigged the election to help Hillary and ensure she would get the nomination. It's all pretty corrupt. Nobody spent a lot of time on it. So, all right, so fake Jake News, Jake Tapper, fake news on the CNN fake news network, he's attacking me today. And then what did I find? I said, okay, the recent DNC email dumps released by WikiLeaks have already revealed the collusion this was late in the game, this was a day before Election Day, have already revealed the collusion between the DNC and the media, CNN and the New York Times and Politico and a bunch of other places. Anyway, the piece goes on, and the latest batch of leaked correspondence, Jason Sahar, a CNN writer, producer for The Lead with Jake Tapper. Well, the WikiLeaks dump showed that this guy, Jason Sahar, CNN writer, producer for Jake Tapper and his show, is seen writing to a DNC staffer, Pablo Manriquez, asking, oh, thanks for facilitating Luis coming on today and bearing with us through a melee of GOP nonsense and cancellations and all of that. Any particular points that he'll want to make? We're going to stay Democratic focused. Oh, okay. Any points he wants to make so we can set it up on a tee for you so he can knock it out of the park? Pretty unbelievable. Then it even goes on from there. Manriquez forwarded Sahar's email to three other DNC staffers, adding, quote, window closing on this. Need to know as soon as possible if we want to offer Jake Tapper questions to ask us. Now, if they weren't going to use the questions they asked them, well, why did they offer them? How did that happen? What was the point of all that? So you get my point here. And, you know, I don't care if it's Uranium One. They don't care about Uranium One. They don't care about Ukrainian collusion. They don't care about Obama trying to unseat Benjamin Netanyahu. They only care about, well, Donald Trump Jr. had a 20-minute meeting and got nothing out of the meeting, and we'll call that collusion. Let's put those guys under oath. The media is so corrupt, and the Republicans are so pathetically weak. Democrats know how to fight, and Republicans are just afraid of their own shadow. How many years now have I been calling them spineless and weak and timid and ineffective and visionless? Well, if any of this doesn't prove it, I don't know what will. You know, it's time for Republicans to wake up and realize these guys don't like you. They're never going to like you. I don't understand the desire by so many Republicans to be liked. I mean, that's absolutely what happened with Liberal Joe over at MSNBC. He wants to be loved. He wants to be accepted. He wanted to be the one Republican that they could say, well, there's a reasonable Republican, and he's not a conservative. All right, enough with the monkey house. I don't think I can take too much of that on this Friday. We'll have our Friday Florida-Georgia line concert series, though, so that'll make things a little bit better. And we got other news and investigation. I mean, about some of these investigations. I mean, you know, everything you need to know about Robert Mueller's pretty much corroborated by Eric Holder, who's one of the worst attorney generals ever. There's no basis to question the integrity of Mueller or those serving with him in the special counsel's office. Why? Because they hired Hillary Clinton's attorney in this. Why would they ever? Why would a Democrat ever question that? And they hired the people that we know donated to Obama and Clinton and the Democrats. There is a question today based on a Washington Times story that, you know, is Mueller now using this long discredited Christopher Steele golden shower urinating in the bed dossier to guide his investigation? We got to ask that question when we get back. Now, we have the vice president of the United States is going to be on the program today. By the way, Hannity tonight, Sean Spicer, Reince Priebus, and Anthony Scaramucci will all join us. So we'll get to them. And we got to get to a lot of your calls, comments, intuitive insight, observations, other news of the day. We have an update on the O.J. Simpson going free issue.
Covert operative Mitch Rapp is ready for anything, but this time the enemy is ready for him. Read Order to Kill, the explosive new novel in Vince Flynn's number one New York Times best-selling Mitch Rapp series. Because of unscrupulous members of the Pakistani Secret Service, Rapp finds himself chasing false leads in an effort to keep Pakistani nukes from falling into the hands of terrorists. Soon, it becomes alarmingly clear that the forces in Moscow are bent on fomenting even more chaos and turmoil in the Middle East, and Rapp must go deep into Iraqi territory, posing as an American ISIS recruit. There, he uncovers a plan more dangerous and insidious than he ever expected, one that could have far-reaching and catastrophic consequences. Written with the same relentless action as Vince Flynn's greatest novels, Mitch Rapp's latest adventure is as timely and provocative as ever. Order to Kill, a Mitch Rapp novel by Kyle Mills, is now in paperback wherever books are sold.
Quick break, right back. We'll continue.
All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. All right, my daughter just came into the room and my studio today. What are you doing in the studio today?
Not much.
How do you like, do you even know what I do for a living?
No, not really.
You really have no idea, do you?
No.
Do you care?
A little.
A little. Okay. So are you having fun? Apparently you're with all your friends today. Are you having fun today?
Yeah.
Isn't it great to be on summer vacation?
Yeah.
Isn't it great that Daddy works so I can pay for all that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. So what are you guys doing today? What's on the agenda? What does a 15-year-old girl do in the summer?
We're going to go on the boat.
Oh, they're going on a boat today. Wow. You going fishing or are you going tubing?
Tubing.
And I really appreciate you following Daddy's advice and putting on sunscreen. It really looks good so far. All right. How many rules does your dad have for you on a regular basis?
Not many.
Be a good person.
Yeah.
What else?
Do well in school and tennis.
Do well in school and do your best at your sport. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that hard?
No.
No. And by the way, you usually only talk to me when?
All the time.
No, only hi, Dad, how are you? By the way, how's the boat coming? Hi, Dad, how are you? Where's my boat?
No, that's not true.
Oh, that's so true. All right, come, you're talking to 15 million people. You can't lie to 15 million people. Just tell them the truth. You usually, I tend not to hear from you unless you want something.
Sometimes, but not all the time.
Sometimes, but not all the time. Oh. Are you in, like, the 15-year-old stage where Dad's not cool anymore and it's not fun to be around me? Just be honest. Tell the audience.
No. Mm-hmm.
A little bit?
No.
I don't get the 15-year-old eye roll occasionally? Oh.
No.
I've never gotten the eye roll.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Oh, so the truth does come out eventually. All right, so what else is going on, baby doll? You doing well?
Yeah.
You know? You having fun?
Mm-hmm.
All right, give me a kiss. Mwah. All right, love you. Have fun. Spend lots of Dad's money. Do you want me to buy you all lunch or pizza? What do you want?
Lunch.
Lunch? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You want me to buy you lunch?
No.
You just want... you came up for money. You didn't come up here for anything else. Oh my! Now I get it. All right, this is now makes perfect sense. Linda, are you listening to this, Linda?
Every word.
And what do you think of that? She's listening to you.
You're her dad. You're supposed to supply her with a roof over her head and food in her belly. So give her the money.
Roof over her head, food in her belly. Am I supposed to supply the boat too?
Well, you already did that. I don't have to talk about that.
It's, by the way, it's not a big boat. It's a little bitty boat, right? It's not that big. It's, you know, like 20 feet. You drive it though, right? All right. You know the best time to great moments with boats. The day you get it, you're really happy, and the day you sell it is the next happiest day. The day you sell that boat, I'm going to be a happy father. All right, I got to take a break. Say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye.
Okay. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. We'll take a break. We'll come back. How was school? Good. What'd you do? Nothing. Who'd you talk to? Nobody. What'd you learn? Nothing. That's pretty much normal conversations. We'll continue on the other side. My daughter, why are you guys laughing at that so hard? What's so funny about that? I don't think it was that funny. I think that's a normal father-daughter relationship, don't you? This is what it's like when your kids come home. Why are you just shaking your head, Linda? You can't shake your head on radio.
You know, I don't have this problem yet because Liam just tells me what he wants and I have to do it. Otherwise, he'll have a tantrum. At least you're beyond that.
Okay. So, but isn't it typical? You're going to see Liam's going to go to school. He's going to come home from school. And you're going to say, Liam, how was your day? Good. What did you do? Nothing. What did you study? Nothing.
Well, shouldn't you be better at that? You interview people for a living. You should be able to get more.
Listen, you know what? One of the best things I think I've done with my kids is I do not drag them into this mess that I'm in, the swamp that I'm in, dealing with these idiots in Washington. Now, they know, and they understand what I do, but they, you know, do they really, is her life at 15 really about politics? My son is definitely more into politics than my daughter. And she... You know, she understands politics. We talk politics, but we don't spend a lot of time talking politics at home. And I don't come home saying who I had a fight with on Twitter earlier that day. Or if I'm sitting there watching a movie with them and I'm really on my phone tweeting when I'm supposed to be watching the movie, but I don't feel like watching it, they have no idea. I'm not sitting there saying...
Don't you have that thing where, like, you take all your phones and you put them in a basket outside the room so you can have quality family time?
No, who started that rule?
I think you should start it in your house. I think you should be the initiator and you should be the person that adheres to it.
You're not allowed to be a part of that rule. Because
why not?
What's my rule with all of you that work for me? 24/7, if I text you, you better pick up.
Uh-huh.
The only person that gets away with breaking that rule with regularity is Sweet Baby James.
What does that have to do with having
and
family time?
And Sweet Baby
time?
James gets yelled at because I'll text him and I'm like, hello, an hour later,
this is
hello,
a serious
hello.
Duck and dodge. You know that, right? You're ducking and dodging like a basketball player.
What am I dodging? I'm not
so
dodging
what you're
anything.
Basically what you're saying by your inability to answer this question, like your daughter's inability to answer your questions, is that you will not give up your phone for family time.
No, what I'm saying is I work in the news business.
So 1 hour,
I work in the
90
news
minutes.
Business. Listen, if I don't have my phone and it hits the fan, I've got my work calling me to get into work. I for my job, it's like a doctor. I'm on call 24/7.
Yeah, I think I call a little BS on this one, my friend.
No, you're
I
not
don't
calling
know.
BS on this.
I think so.
All right, well, listen, there have been weekends that I have texted you at 11 o'clock at night and you answer me.
Yes.
Okay, that in part, isn't that part of your job description?
Well, my family time is over at 11 p.m.
My family time. Okay, but if I text you at 7 p.m., you're still answering.
And I'll say I'm giving Liam a bath. I'll text you back in a half
hour. And then
hour.
You'll ask if it's important, but at least you'll answer. Now, if I don't have my phone because I put it in a basket, some ridiculous rule that some liberal thought
What do you have
up,
against baskets? Now you don't like baskets?
I don't have a basket. It has nothing to do with the basket. It has to do with I've got to stay connected. That's what I do. This is my job. It's
I think
my,
you should have an automatic respond. On your phone, and
automatic
it'll say,
respond.
"It'll
oh,
say I'm spending
sorry,
time
Fox.
With my children."
Sorry, Fox. I put the phone in a basket for the next 2 hours. I'll get back to you if I'm free after.
See
if we don't
that?
Watch a second movie, and if I don't have to go pop popcorn.
See that?
That's insane.
That's
insane.
Devotion. That's devotion
That's
to your
devotion.
Family.
It's not real life. You gotta live real life, and
I'm living real life.
Listen, the average lawyer, doctor, person that has any job, you know, some of us have jobs where you're never totally off.
I disagree.
You could set up an emergency phone line specifically for if you have to get called into Fox. But other
even,
than that,
I don't even have an emergency phone
let's
line.
Let's get
in my
you
house.
One.
I don't want another phone.
I can
phone.
Facilitate
I
that.
You know how many phones I have? I'm
no,
like
this
Hillary.
Is just a Hannity emergency hotline number.
Oh, my gosh. You guys,
nuclear war is imminent.
You know,
stop
watching the
movie.
I want to say something to Sunshine. Is there ever going to be a day on this program you don't take her side? Is there ever going to be a day?
She's not taking my side.
Is there ever going to be a day you come to my defense and ever just stop sucking
she
up
is
to her?
Coming
you
to your
and
defense.
Ethan and Sweet Baby and Jason, they all suck up to you in there because they got to deal with you more hours a day than me.
I care about you as a person. I care about your physical health. I care about your mental health. And I think a detox, a digital detox could be really good for you. You have to unplug.
Detox. It's not a drug. It's work.
What, I'm you telling guys are, you. You'll
well,
be happier
you
if you
admit,
unplug.
So it was Friday. I was kind of bored this morning. And nobody understands my whole Twitter routine.
Oh, yeah, because there's no news going on.
Well, I was watching the news the whole time. It's like I can, you know, I can do many things at once. I can walk and chew gum at the same time. I can compartmentalize. I can be tweeting and I can be watching Sean Spicer's announcement that he's resigning. I saw the whole thing. I watched all of Anthony Scaramucci's press conference today. I thought it was really good, actually. So anyway, I'm going to keep doing
it. Did you watch it on your phone?
No, I watched it on my television set because my phone needs to be free.
I think we should pull the
so
audience.
So I can point out the WikiLeaks report. How great was that WikiLeaks find on fake Jake Tapper? I thought that was pretty good, pretty clever.
You're dodging again. I want to pull the audience.
Pull the audience about what?
I think there should be a vote. Should we unplug for a couple of hours?
No.
To be with our family? No. No. I will not unplug. No.
I'm not going to unplug and I don't want to poll.
Yeah, because you know the audience is going to side with
true.
Me.
Well, wait a minute. When we talked last week about, you know, I can't get back into this topic because that's all people wanted to talk about. But when I was talking about that, if
your
I,
death when you officially unplug,
kind of, it's similar, okay. similar terminology here. But I just said that if the doctor said to me, "You've got 3 months to live," and I felt that I was going to be a burden to my family, and it was pretty much 100%, I'm dying. That when I felt I would be a burden, I didn't want to do that to my family and that I would say goodbye to everybody. And then I would go off and to a place and I wouldn't let my family make them clean me and spray me down every day.
Are you going to do that on Twitter? Just say goodbye on Twitter.
No.
Like,
day,
I'm gone, people.
The day
months.
I go out, it's going to be, Joe, I'm still here. Liberal Joe, I haven't left yet. Hey, Jake the fake, I'm not gone. You know, I do love this. I do love that all those people in the media hate me. And you know what I'm never going to do? I am never going to back down. I am never going to stop fighting them. And I never want to be friends with them. And I don't like any of them. Isn't that pretty much true, that we don't like any of these people?
I would say that's 100% accurate.
Yeah. All right, 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. All right, listen, we got some other news. There was a piece out today that I want to share with you in the Washington Times, and all this information that's coming out about Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor or special counsel, is it's getting worse every day. And everything that I predicted James Comey was probably going to write a book. Now he's shopping a book deal. I predicted James Comey would probably start a miniseries. And he's probably now going to live off Donald Trump and Donald Trump's name for the next however many years. And so all of that's coming true. The only thing I was really joking about, he'd be working at MSNBC, but I could even see that as a possibility, as a contributor. James Comey, we'll forget about the fact that he leaked government documents and that he also leaked classified information and that he did it to get a special counsel who ended up being his BFF, Robert Mueller. Now we find out that the day before Mueller became the special counsel, he was begging Trump for a job and didn't get it. So that's not good for Donald Trump. That's called a conflict of interest. That's a reason for recusal. Now, the special counsel shouldn't even be there anyway because it's not cause. And because the original part of the investigation was, well, let's look into collusion of Trump and Russia, because that has now been disproven and is now gone and finished. I'll play it later in the program. And the fact that he does not looking into the Ukrainian attempts to influence our election, because that involves the DNC and this woman Chalupa. And, of course, the Clinton campaign and the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I don't see any investigation into that collusion. I don't see investigation into Hillary Clinton and what she did with the Uranium One deal, which is real Russia collusion. I don't see any investigation into Hillary Clinton and mishandling of classified information, even though James Comey, it appears, did the same thing. And after the mishandling of it, the destruction of classified top secret special access program information, or lying to the FBI. There are people that go to jail for lying to the FBI. And Hillary Clinton, can we have your devices? Well, I only had an email server because I wanted one device. Okay, they destroyed like 15 of them. And then when they found out that they had two left, they said, we want those two devices. So what does Hillary and her campaign do? They just sent it on over. They sent the devices over without SIM cards. I've never seen such corruption. And I'm not even talking about Fusion GPS, their connection to the Democratic Party, the false information, the fake dossier getting information by this former MI6 agent, Christopher Steele. He's getting all the fake information about Trump and Russia, the Ritz and urinating in beds. Well, now, is the special prosecutor now, is he going to use this long discredited Democratic Party anti-Trump dossier, which is chock full of phony, baseless, lurid allegations, to guide his investigation? Well, I read the Washington Times today. The FBI is routinely asking witnesses in its Russia investigation about the accusations in the dossier, which, by the way, Christopher Steele was paying for them to say this, that, and the other, and expanding the reach of discredited op research paper sourced in the Kremlin and financed and distributed by Democrats connected to Fusion GPS. Now, it's my understanding that once Mueller was appointed in May, he took over the FBI's Russiagate investigation. Those agents now work for him. They're carrying out the investigation based on what he tells them to do. And if that's the case, then the highly respected so-called professional loved by Eric Holder, completely above board, Robert Mueller, who has more conflict of interest than anybody I've seen, and the fact that he didn't get a job from Trump, and the fact that he's appointing Hillary Clinton's lawyer, and he's appointing all these Democrats that donated to Obama and Clinton, if he's going to use this piece of completely discredited Democratic op research, the Golden Shower dossier, as a blueprint for the investigation. Washington Times goes on to say a source close to the investigation described the dossier as a checklist that agents are ticking off as they go over numerous unverified charges denounced as fabrications by Trump and his aides, and many of which had been disproven. The source called it strange that a gossip-filled series of memos is guiding the way the Bureau's conducting the investigation. Oh, my gosh. This is unbelievable. We have, remember when Democrats demanded the special counsel be appointed or special prosecutor in the Valerie Plame case? We got news on that. Plame had a desk job. She wasn't a covert operative. And that ended up with a 3-year investigation, investigative creep by Patrick Fitzgerald. And then after 3 years, when they couldn't get anybody for anything, he should have shut that investigation down on day one because it was Richard Armitage that was responsible. And Patrick Fitzgerald knew it. Plame had a desk job. She wasn't a covert operative. You know, she worked in the CIA headquarters in Langley. After she's found, she was outed in a Robert Novak column in a newspaper. Well, the New York Times carried on like she was James Bond. It was never the truth. And her husband lying about yellow cake uranium, as far as I'm concerned. The CIA director, Mike Pompeo, blasted the New York Times yesterday for publishing the name of the undercover officer in charge of the agency's Iran operations. That's the only thing that scares me about all of these leaks. I really worry. You know, these people that work in the intelligence community, they're very brave people. And these people put their lives on the line. And there are a lot of covert operatives. And the fact is that we have not built in cybersecurity is mind-numbing to me. Julian Assange is 45 years old. He broke into the DOD and NASA when he was 16. And all these years, nobody did a thing to tighten up cybersecurity in our government. And there's a lot of people whose names in there don't need to be told. And the other worst thing is the deep state leaking. And that's all these people we trust, we depend on, we count on in a dangerous world with Iranian mullahs that are seeking weapons of mass destruction and an absolute maniac controlling nukes in North Korea. Thank you, Bill Clinton. And all these guys, they're doing their job. We want them to spy on these other countries. We're being spied on. We want them spied on. But the fact is, when tools are used by a few people, by very, very tiny, I don't know, less than 1%, that they're going to turn the weaponry we give them to defend our country onto American citizens drives me insane. Because that's the beginning of a police state. And that's why 125 leaks in 126 days scares the daylights out of me. Anyway, so the CIA director, during a Q&A at the Aspen Security Forum, you know, he said the decision to publish the operative's name is unconscionable. Where's the New York Times on this? Operative's name, which Fox News withheld, good for them, was published in a Times story. They said they're publishing it because the officer had previously been identified. They just don't care. They're such hypocrites. Oh, sad note today, the DNC announced they're flat broke. And the DNC chairman says, I started in March. I can't help that we're broke today. And a poll finds that Democrats get stressed out talking to Trump supporters. They can't handle the truth. There's the answer there. Maxine Waters says she's open to a presidential run. I want to encourage this. Oh, one other thing on Mueller. His prosecution team is a who's who of liberal activism, which I've been telling you every night on TV. But we do have some good news today. Food stamp use now has fallen to the lowest level since Obama became president. 7 years. Thank God. And then the other thing that we learned from Stuart Varney, Trump has already made Americans $4 trillion richer because people have confidence in the changes that he's making. All right, as we roll along, busy news day, when we come back, well, we'll check in with the Vice President of the United States of America. That's Mike Pence. That's next on this busy news Friday, straight ahead.
We're in this room today to deliver on our promise to the American people to repeal Obamacare and to ensure that they have the health care that they need. We have no choice. We have to repeal and replace Obamacare. We can repeal it, but the best is repeal and replace, and let's get going. I intend to keep my promise, and I know you will too. Obamacare was a big lie. You can keep your doctor, lie. You can keep your plan, lie. It was a lie directly from the president. You can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. 28 times he said it, 28 times. And it was a lie and he knew it was. And now it's hurting this country irreparably. I've been here just 6 months. I'm ready to act. I have pen in hand, believe me. I'm sitting in that office.
I have pen in hand. You never had that before. You know, for 7 years, you had an easy route. We'll repeal, we'll replace, and he's never going to sign it. But I'm signing it. So it's a little bit different. But I'm ready to act. For 7 years, you promised the American people that you would repeal Obamacare. People are hurting. Inaction is not an option. And frankly, I don't think we should leave town unless we have a health insurance plan, unless we can give our people great health care.
All right. Happy Friday, hour two of the Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. We'd love to hear from you today. It's 800-941-SEAN. If you'd like to join us, that is the president focusing in on what I think is one of the most important agenda items in his presidency, but more importantly, for the House of Representatives, for the Republicans in the Senate. It has now been 6 months and a day since Donald Trump has been the president of the United States, and this has been a promise that has gone on since 2010, repealing, replacing Obamacare. Give us the House in 2010, we'll repeal, we'll replace. Give us the House and Senate 2014, we will repeal and replace. Give us the House, the Senate, and the White House, and we will do this. And yet it seems to, well, first got stuck in the House, but they were able to push that through and manage to get a plan that's going to lower premiums, create competition, and certainly undo the mess that is Obamacare. And now it seems stuck in the Senate like it was in the House. Here to shed some light on the importance of getting this all done is the Vice President of the United States, Vice President Mike Pence. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Sean. Thanks for having me on. We're just a few days and a vote on the floor of the United States Senate away from beginning to debate the end of Obamacare. And I can tell you, I just left the president. He sends his regards. Busy day here at the White House, but we are completely focused on keeping our promise to the American people, as you heard in that clip from the president, to repeal and replace Obamacare. And it all starts next week.
Okay, let's talk about the two options that seem to be available. Originally, yeah, it was going to be a bill that was just slightly different from the House bill, but it would ensure lower premiums. I know Ted Cruz put forward a terrific amendment that would increase competition, which I think is key to any process of lowering plans, but we'd also get rid of all the negative detrimental impacts of Obamacare, and it would open the way for health savings accounts and cooperatives. So you had that plan, then, okay, that wasn't working out too well, then they moved to, all right, let's repeal it and let's transition. I'm fine with either, but where are we?
Well, where we are is that they're the first vote that has to pass, and it could come as soon as Tuesday, Sean, is a vote to begin the debate on the floor of the United States Senate.
This is called a motion to proceed, right?
It's called a motion to proceed, but it really just begins the debate. And as the president said in the meeting with the senators here at the White House on Wednesday, was, you know, any senator who doesn't vote to begin the debate is basically telling the American people that they're okay with Obamacare. I mean, you know, you've told the story like nobody else in the country about the failures of Obamacare. I mean, they promised us that insurance premiums would go down by $2,500. They've gone up by more than $3,000 a year per plan since 2013. Premiums are soaring. Choices are plummeting. 40% of American counties only have one choice left. Many counties have no choices. So we all know it's got to happen. But everything begins. Your listeners, your millions of listeners around the country ought to know that sometime coming as soon as Tuesday, their member of the United States Senate is going to be called upon whether they even want to vote to begin the debate. And the president and I truly believe that every member of the Senate, but at least every Republican member of the Senate, should vote to begin the debate and get us to those two choices that you just described, which is to either just repeal only and then continue to discuss a replacement plan over the next 2 years, or, as the president would prefer, we all prefer, is let's build on the good bill that passed the House of Representatives. Let's repeal and replace Obamacare by passing legislation that repeals the mandates, lowers premiums, sends Medicaid back to the states, and even in the Senate bill, even provides a completely new resources to fight and combat opiate addiction across the country. This is an opportune moment for us to make history, to literally turn 7 years of failed policy around and steer America back in the direction of a healthcare system based on freedom, doctor-patient relationship, patient-centered healthcare, and state-based reform. But it all begins. Here's the thing, Sean. It all begins with the vote on Tuesday on that motion to proceed, and your listeners ought to know that.
Let me ask this. The one thing I'm having probably the most trouble with is when they were talking about repeal and transition only, there were four senators, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Senator Capito, and Rob Portman. And three of the four, everybody but Susan Collins, had voted for the 2015 bill, which is all that bill would have been.
Right.
And now they're hedging this time. And in many ways, I'm a little shocked by that. And considering it was a promise of every Republican pretty much in the House and everyone in the Senate, and they voted for it in 2015, it seems like three people are capable of holding the entire party and the agenda captive.
Well, it's important that your listeners ought to know 51 members of the United States Senate out of 52 have voted for legislation that would repeal only and then create a time frame, 2 years, to come up with a replacement for Obamacare. 51 out of 52 voted for it back in 2015. It's just a fact. What the president called for when repeal and replace was falling apart earlier in the week, the president said, well, at minimum, let's keep our promise to repeal the taxes, the mandates, all of the failed policies that are literally causing insurance premiums to skyrocket, a hardship on families and businesses. He said, let's at least just repeal only. But then, as the president said Wednesday, you know, that's the fallback. What we ought to do is just, Congress ought to just do its job.
You know,
frankly, millions of Americans have engaged on this issue, sending in emails, phone calls to their senators from states all across the country, and we're seeing real movement. Sean, we are close. We are really close to having enough votes to start this debate, and I think once we start the debate, we're going to find a way forward to pass legislation that will repeal and replace Obamacare. But it all begins with starting the debate.
Mr. Vice President, you've been a congressman, you've been a governor of one of our great states, the great state of Indiana, the Hoosier State. The president, to his credit, he's made great progress on the borders. He's made great progress on appointments with judges. We know that the VA is turned around in a major way and major reforms are taking place. Even as we speak, he's ended Obama-era regulations, especially as it relates to energy. And as a conservative that supports the agenda because I believe it helps the American people and for no other reason. And I want those people in poverty and on food stamps and out of the labor force back to work. Congress is so pathetically slow, and they seem to lack the urgency or seem to be capable of the speed of the president. And I'm not expecting them to be as fast as the president. I know the Senate's the deliberative body, but this is kind of pathetic.
Well, look, the Senate's considered the greatest deliberative body in the world, and the founders actually created it, as you know and have written about, you know, to be that slow working process. But what the American people have seen in the 6 months and one day of this administration has been a pattern of obstruction by Democrats in the Senate, who, I hasten to add, is we're working here to bring Republicans together around repeal and replace. It's important to remind your listeners around the country, every single Democrat in the United States Senate has refused to even lift a finger to try and clean up the mess that they created 70 years ago in Obamacare. And so this is all, you know, I think the pattern, whether it be the confirmation of nominees, we have ambassadors that are being confirmed this week, but the slow pace of confirmation and even legislation, I think, is evidence of the obstruction tactics of a Democratic Party that is defined by the word resist. And I think the American people are getting tired of it.
Newt Gingrich was on Hannity last night on the television program, Mr. Vice President, and I agree with him. And he suggested that if certain things are not done by 2018, that the Congress is hurting themselves and putting their majority in jeopardy. And we kind of agree on the agenda items that if repeal replace doesn't happen and in some form, or just repeal and transition, we're both fine with that. If we don't have 200 or 300 miles of the border wall built that people can see and a commitment of the finances for the rest of it, if we don't have the president's economic plan, middle class tax cut, 15-16% corporate tax cut, repatriation happen, energy independence, that and building the economy and creating jobs. And there was some good news on the economy today, but if that doesn't happen, I think they feel there's a risk.
for the Republican majority.
Well, look, the American people elected President Trump to deliver results in a Washington, D.C. that's been taking our nation in the wrong direction over the last 8 years. And as you said, I mean, we've made extraordinary progress rolling back an avalanche of red tape, a solid conservative, strict constructionist to the Supreme Court of the United States in Neil Gorsuch. We've made great progress in Veterans Affairs, the largest increase in defense spending in the last 10 years, rebuilding our military. But Sean, we have to deliver. The President and I both feel this passionately. We have to deliver on the promise to repeal and replace Obamacare and cut taxes on working families and businesses and family farms across this country. And it's not just about the politics. It's really about the country. I mean, it's midterm elections that will play out as they'll play out. But I think as we continue to deliver on the promises that the president made in this campaign, and frankly, that every Republican made. You made this at the top of this segment. You made this comment, and there's no truer words. There is no Republican in the House or Senate who didn't commit to repeal and replace Obamacare over the last 7 years.
As you said, 51 and 52. All right, we got to take a quick break here. The vice president has graciously agreed to stay with us a few minutes longer. We'll take a break. We'll come back more with Vice President Pence right here on the Sean Hannity Show. We continue with the Vice President of the United States. I want to ask you about media coverage, fake news, and what has been a nonstop fixation on Russia, 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 Russia. And all the while, and I pointed this out on radio and TV regularly, a lot of real crimes, real injustices, real collusion, the Ukrainian collusion, Uranium One deal, certainly the mishandling and destruction of classified information, top secret information with Hillary Clinton and James Comey releasing government documents and doing so to get a special counsel appointed. And in his case, some of that information was classified. There seems to be no investigations into anything else except Russia, Russia, Russia. What is your response to this?
Well, my response is that we have in large numbers in the national media, people who simply disagree with millions of Americans who voted not only for this president but voted for a change of direction in our nation's capital, and their incessant effort to change the subject from the president's determination to advance the safety and security of this country, to advance the prosperity of this country, have America standing tall in the world again, to put America first in our economic policies, in the way that we deal with nations all over the globe. I just see it. I see it in so many ways, from the political class on the airways across this country, to be just a running argument against this administration. But what's most encouraging to me as I travel across America, and I'll be in Ohio tomorrow, it is talking with the American people and meeting an awful lot of your listeners and your viewers around the country, is the American people are grateful for this president's focus on the agenda that he was elected to advance. And that's where we're just going to continue to stay focused, Sean. And, tired of a Washington, D.C. that's constantly chasing, whatever the headline is.
Oh,
of the
it's
day,
ridiculous.
Whatever the hot issue is of the day. And they want to see Washington, D.C. Respond to the president's leadership and deal with the issues the American people are concerned about, which have to do with the safety and security of our families, have to do with getting this economy moving again, upholding the rule of law and enforcing our laws, standing with our veterans. And that's all of that is the progress we've made in the last 6 months, and we're just going to continue to drive straight through that cheerfully with this president's indefatigable energy, and I know we're going to make America great again.
Last question, Mr. Vice President. We've had all of this unmasking of raw intelligence, and it was reported that you had 125 selective leaks against the administration in 126 days, seven times the previous two administrations. And, we're talking about highly classified, the weaponry that we give these brave men and women in that work in certainly protecting this country, and those that work in surveillance and those that work at the NSA. But there are a few that are abusing these tools. And I think it's become a danger for the country. Your thoughts?
The leaks have got to stop. And the leaks of national security compromise the safety and security not only of the American people, but in some cases, Sean, it threatens to compromise the security of our armed forces who are who are in the fight in Iraq, in Syria, and Afghanistan. We just, I mean, it represents a betrayal of trust that must be brought to an end. And I can assure you that our administration is going to continue to work earnestly.
All right, Vice President Mike Pence, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941. Sean, you want to be a part of the program? All right, 25 till the top of the hour. If you just joined us, you missed the Vice President urging Congress to do their job. One of the top stories today. We have more fallout from the OJ. Well, OJ's going free. That's coming up at the top of the next hour. I want to remind you all the times we were told by so many top Democrats, so many in the intelligence community, no evidence of collusion. Let's go back and take a trip down memory lane here.
But Mr. Clapper then went on to say that to his knowledge, there was no evidence of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. We did not conclude any evidence in our report. And when I say our report, that is the NSA, FBI, and CIA, with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, any reflection of collusion between the members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that in our report. Was Mr. Clapper wrong when he said that?
I think he's right about characterizing the report, which you all have read.
We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that included in our report.
Have you seen anything, either intelligence briefings, through intelligence briefings, anything to back up any of the accusations that you've made?
They have the documentation that they did the hacking.
The hacking.
On the DNC.
Right.
And on some of us, you know, that have.
But the collusion, though.
No, we have not.
Do you have evidence that there was, in fact, collusion between Trump associates and Russia during the campaign?
Not at this time.
Have you seen anything that suggests any collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign?
Well, there's an awful lot of smoke there, let's put it that way. People that might have said they were involved, to what extent they were involved, to what extent the president might have known about these people or whatever. There's nothing there from that standpoint that we have seen directly linking our president to any of that.
Did evidence exist of collusion, coordination, conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russian state actors at the time you learned of 2016 efforts?
I don't know whether or not such collusion, that's your term, such collusion existed. I don't know.
The big questions, of course, is there any evidence of collusion you have seen yet? Is there?
Listen, there is a lot of smoke. We have no smoking gun at this point, but there is a lot of smoke.
Dianne Feinstein has said there's no evidence of collusion. So collusion between whom? Can you tell us that?
I'm not prepared to say that there's proof you could take to a jury, but I can say that there is enough that we ought to be investigating.
At the time you separated from service in January of 2017, had you seen any evidence that Donald Trump or any member of his campaign colluded, conspired, or coordinated with the Russians or anyone else to infiltrate or impact our voter infrastructure?
Not beyond what has been out there open source, and not beyond anything that I'm sure this committee has already seen and heard before directly from the intelligence community.
And on top of that, let's show you that there is real evidence as it relates to Hillary and Ukraine, putting aside Hillary Uranium One, putting aside that she, in fact, did mishandle and destroy classified top secret special access program information. And let's just listen to the evidence that, in fact, yeah, there is Hillary Ukrainian. Well, there's a connection. And a DNC operative met at the Ukrainian embassy with the Ukrainian ambassador and passed the information on to the DNC and Hillary's campaign. I thought foreign countries weren't supposed to do that.
Let me ask you, I understand Hillary Clinton lost, and I understand this effort was not as elaborate as the Russian effort, but was it acceptable, or would it have been acceptable for the Democrats to accept help from the Ukrainian government in this campaign?
No, it would be appropriate for the Democrats to accept help from the Ukrainian government. But I think if you look at the Politico article, and we're talking about just a single article here, if you accept all the facts in the article, The scale of what the Russians did is not comparable to anything in that article. If it were, the comparable analogy would be that the Ukrainian president directed the Ukrainian intelligence agencies to steal, to hack Donald Trump's campaign, steal emails, publish them, directed a social media army to influence the election, and sat down, its representatives sat down with Chelsea Clinton and John Podesta, in which they indicated they wanted the dirt on Donald Trump. There's no suggestion anything of that magnitude.
So the scale is different, acknowledge that, but this is problematic. This Ukrainian meeting is problematic in your eyes.
Well, it would be problematic to get any kind of support from a foreign government, but again, I think to compare the two is a bit like comparing bank robbery with writing a check with insufficient funds, both appropriate money from the bank improperly, but a very different degree of seriousness and involvement in this case by a foreign government.
I literally have no idea what they're talking about.
You didn't go to Ukraine, you or someone on the campaign. You did not go to the Ukraine to get opposition research.
No, absolutely not. And what I do know happened was that reporters got information directly from the Ukrainians of secret accounts where Paul Manafort, Trump's campaign manager, was receiving millions of dollars for work that he was doing to help a Kremlin-backed candidate. So that did get. No, I'm saying reporters got that. I read about it in the paper like everybody else. I think they're trying to confuse us.
Just to be clear, because they've said it so many times, you don't know of any meeting with a Ukrainian. Forget going to the Ukraine. You don't know of any meeting between a Ukrainian and the Hillary Clinton campaign.
No, not at all. And I think I would have been told, you know, to the points that have been raised earlier, I think if foreign nationals were reaching out to us with opposition research, there would have been a very deliberate discussion about how to manage that, both from a concern, legally and ethically.
All right, joining us now is Victoria Tunsing and Joe DeGeneva, founders of the Washington, D.C. law firm DeGeneva and Tunsing, two of the toughest attorneys in the country. You don't want to mess with these two. How are you both? Good to talk to you.
We're good. We're going to head to St. Michael's soon.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you're going on a vacation as the rest of us slave away here and working our fingers to the bone. All right, so here's the main question. So there's no evidence of collusion. But yet there's a ton of evidence. If it's so bad, Victoria, that outside countries are trying to influence our elections and the Ukrainians do it for the Democrats, why is that okay?
Well, Sean, this just shows you that the Republicans really suck at messaging and the Democrats are superb at it. They know how to repeat the same mantra over and over again until it becomes part of the discussion. There it is, war on women, war on women, war on women. And first thing I know, the woman who does my hair says, oh, Romney's going to take away my birth control. The Republicans have no idea how to fight back with words.
It's so true, Joe. I mean, this is one of my great frustrations. I honestly, there's nobody that I can really talk to that has... I honestly feel we do 10 times, 100 times better research defending than they do.
Oh, there's no question about it, Sean. Listen, give you an example of the incompetence of the Republicans on Capitol Hill, besides not being able to pass a health care bill after 7 years. Fusion GPS, not one subpoena issued to them by any Republican-led congressional Senate, House or Senate committee. What's the matter with these idiots? Have they ever heard of a subpoena? Did they know how to spell it? Inviting people to testify? What's the matter with them? And besides all this interest in the House and the Senate Intelligence Committee investigating the Russian connection, why aren't they investigating the Hillary Clinton email scandal and the failure to turn over evidence and the destruction of evidence? And the granting of these bizarre immunity deals. Why isn't the Judiciary Committee doing that? They are incompetent on the Hill. That's why I'm not surprised that they haven't been able to figure out after 7 years how to pass a health care bill. Donald Trump is president because they are idiots.
All right, so what I want to ask you is this. You sound just like me. And I have known you for a lot of years. I mean, I was interviewing both of you during impeachment, for crying out loud. I mean, that's how far our relationship goes back. And I don't understand if Joe DeGeneva can, in 5 seconds, can put the whole narrative together, and this is not your main job. And I can put it together, and I try to put it together as best I can every day and every night.
Superbly
and Victoria,
done.
And I don't know why they don't do this.
Well, I don't either. I don't know where their cojones are. I mean, here's one fact that is...
By the way, Joe, don't get in trouble in your house. She's too tough.
Here's a fact that just puzzled me throughout the Obama administration when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Bill Clinton got personally, not for the foundation, personally $6.2 million for speaking fees. $500,000, $750,000, one of them $500,000 from a Russian entity. Republicans didn't even beep about that. Nothing.
So between them not accomplishing their agenda, Joe, and between them not bringing up far greater instances of corruption and lawbreaking and collusion, I just don't understand how they think they're going to win. I mean, you know, we have two cable news channels now that they're full time. All they talk about is Russia, Russia, Russia. They don't care about the American people one whit. And you have newspapers, the same thing. And you have the mainstream media, you have the networks. It's the same thing.
I am absolutely appalled at Republican control of the House and the Senate with its inability to message, conduct oversight, issue subpoenas. I don't know what they're afraid of. They seem to think that because they're going to be criticized by the mainstream media, they can't do certain things. I simply do not understand. I blame the staffs. They can't be that competent if they're afraid to issue subpoenas. They are afraid of their shadow. It is absolutely remarkable. And it is this fear, this failure to fight, which is what prompted Trump to be elected. This is why he is president. And it's why they can't figure out how to put together a stupid health care bill after 7 years.
It's so pathetic.
It's an embarrassment.
It's just so embarrassing.
Anybody who's in a Republican.
They better get it done. All right, we'll continue. Joe DeGeneva, Victoria Tunsing with DeGeneva and Tunsing, the law firm, and 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Joe DeGeneva, Victoria Tunsing next. As we continue, Joe DeGeneva, Victoria Tunsing are with us. All right, so now we see Sean Spicer goes out today, and he left it with a nice statement. The president asked him to stay, and you see Anthony Scaramucci taking over communications department. What advice, I thought he did a great job in his first press conference today, but what are your thoughts about what needs to change there, if anything, Joe?
Well, I've always believed that the president needed an adult, mature Eminence Grease at the podium in the White House. But the problem is that may not be enough. The president is so different, so independent, so self-actuating that it may be impossible for anyone to perform the role of press secretary and do the briefings because of the way the president preempts them by his own expressions on Twitter. So I'm not sure anybody can do that job. But, you know, I wish them all luck. I hope Scaramucci knows what he's gotten into, because, believe me, Wall Street's nothing compared to what the dogs do here in the media.
Scaramucci is a really strong person when he is interviewed on TV, and we didn't get to see his press conference today, but I assume that he was good
he
and strong.
He is very strong today, very strong.
He needs to know Washington, and he has to have people there who are savvy about Washington. It's very sad that Donald Trump stepped on his own celebrations. You know, he's just come back from a wonderful trip to Europe, and he starts tweeting out silly stuff. He goes after Jeff Sessions, who had to recuse himself. There's a Justice Department regulation that
requires
it.
Can I ask this? Why isn't Jeff Sessions? Why don't we hear about Hillary and mishandling of classified information? Why don't we hear about Hillary and Uranium One or the destruction of classified information? Why does she get away with everything?
I think they're afraid to investigate her. I think they feel that they would be, that now that the department closed the investigation, they think that they would be accused of politicizing the department by reopening it. That's why the congressional committee should have done it, so they could give an opportunity by developing information for the Justice Department to reopen the case. But the people on Capitol Hill don't want to do it either, for the same reason. They are frightened of their own shadows. You know, it would be one thing, even if they weren't conducting good oversight, if they were passing legislation, at least they'd have that. They could give the president some victories. The president is being hurt by them, by their incompetence on the Hill. And all they're doing is hunkering down to protect themselves. And by doing that, by doing nothing, they're committing suicide politically.
It's really, really scary. And I, you know, either we have we now have a two-tier justice system.
Yep.
The Clintons get away with everything. Collusion galore with the Democrats. No investigations. Republicans are impotent and pathetic and afraid, and it's very frustrating.
And here's the thing. 7 years, 8 years of the Clinton Foundation work not a single U.S. attorney's investigation from any of the Democratic U.S. attorneys in New York or anywhere, and not a whimper from anybody in Congress. They should bring into Congress every one of those former U.S. attorneys from the Eastern District of New York. They should bring in Loretta Lynch, put them under oath, say, why didn't you investigate the Clinton Foundation? They have the books. They have all those wonderful books about Clinton cash. They have everything. Peter Schweitzer's stuff is unbelievable.
It's so good.
It's a prima facie case of criminal activity, and the Republican Congress has done nothing to look at it.
All right. Thank you both for being with us. Joe DeGeneva, Victoria Tunsing, 800-941-SHAWN. Other news of the day when we come back. Yes, O.J. Simpson's going free. Is there a chance that he could commit murder? We'll delve into that and more on this Friday edition of the Sean Hannity Show.
Coming up next, our final news roundup and information overload hour.
I've always thought I've been pretty good with people, and I've basically spent a conflict-free life. You know, I'm not a guy that ever got into fights on the street and with the public and everybody, but I've done my time. You know, I've done it as well and as respectfully as I think anybody can. I think if you talk to the wardens, them, they'll tell you I've been there. I gave them my word. I believe in the jury system. I've honored their verdict. I've not complained for 9 years. All I've done is try to be helpful and encourage the guys around there, hey, man, do your time, fight in court, and don't do anything that's going to extend your time. And that's the life I've tried to live because I want to get back to my kids.
All right, and have these programs prepared you to return to the community setting?
At least so. You know, I've missed a lot of time, like 36 birthdays with my children. And, you know, I spent the 12 years leading up to this incident in Vegas raising two kids in L.A. I mean, I'm sorry, in Miami. And, you know, with all the media stuff, you know, we got these guys like Jeffrey Felix making up stories and stuff. That was happening out on the street also. But I was able to keep them to keep their eye on the ball. They had great grades and went to the college of their choice, and I ended up missing their graduation because of it. Trust me, I wish it would have never happened. But as I said, the courses that I take, and I hope it helps me more if I run into those conflicts with my kids. I'm not a guy that has conflicts on the street. I don't expect to have any when I leave here, but I feel that I'm much better prepared. But more so, from I think my commitment to being a better Christian, because I thought I was a good guy. I had some problems with fidelity in my life, but I've always been a guy that pretty much got along with everybody.
Mr. Simpson, you organized this crime in which two victims were robbed at gunpoint. It was a serious crime, and there was no excuse for it. You deserve to be sent to prison. You've been in prison now almost 9 years, the minimum amount imposed by the court. You have complied with the rules of the prison. You have programmed in an acceptable manner. You have no prior conviction of criminal activity. You are a low risk to reoffend on our guidelines. You have community support and stable release plans. We've heard from you and from your victim. The question here, as with all parole hearings, is whether or not you have served enough time in prison on this case. Considering all of these factors, my vote is to grant your parole effective when eligible.
We believe that we're a fair board. We believe that we're a consistent board. I will let you know that consistency also goes to parole, and we do not look kindly upon parole violations. And if I cast my vote to grant and it concludes the hearing, our expectation would be that you not violate even the simplest condition of parole. Having said that, I am prepared to cast a vote. I am prepared to ask the commissioners to set conditions. If that happens, We will produce an order sometime in the next 15 to 20 minutes that will be faxed to you or presented to you at the institution, and it will become a public record. So based on all of that, Mr. Simpson, I do vote to grant parole when eligible. And that will conclude this hearing.
Thank you.
All right, one of our top stories today, one getting, of course, the Republicans to get their act together. Sean Spicer resigns from the White House. He'll be joining us on Hannity tonight at 10 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. And then, of course, the promotion of Anthony Scaramucci as the new communications director. I've known Scaramucci forever. The false reports that he and Reince Priebus don't get along, well, I know that that's not the case. But the other story, of course, that we are following is, well, O.J. Simpson is now a free man. And what does all of that mean? And the blood evidence in that case was overwhelming, on his socks, in his room, in his Bronco, all over the place. And one glove behind his guest house, one glove at the crime scene. How did that all happen? Anyway, joining us now is Sergeant Penny. You might remember, an 18-year veteran of the Dallas police sergeant. He's the founder and president of the Dallas Fallen Officer Foundation, executive director of the Texas Fallen Officer Foundation. And then we have Dr. Wendy Osefo, president of education, Johns Hopkins University. And by the way, I know that this was recently the anniversary on the 7th. It happens to be my sister's birthday, so I couldn't forget. But on the 7th of July, it was the one-year anniversary of what happened and what domestic terrorists did and the killing of these police officers in Dallas. And I remember sitting in this chair as this was unfolding and just being aghast. Sergeant Penny.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. How is the department doing in light of the tragedy, the terror that took place that day?
Well, the agency is doing well. I mean, we're still adjusting. I mean, it's something that that is going to take us a while to heal from. You're talking the greatest loss of law enforcement life since 9/11, and it happened in a domestic terrorist attack. So, I mean, you definitely have all the line level officers that are still trying to recover from it. But we have a new change. We got a new chief of police coming in. So, we don't know how any of this is gonna play out. But our officers are still trying to deal with the loss.
So, you know the case of O.J. Simpson. I don't know how in-depth you followed the case. I followed it very, very in-depth. And in the case of O.J. Simpson, I mean, you got more blood evidence, more evidence that's incontrovertible that he was the murderer. He gets off, and then he gets held liable in a civil trial. And then, of course, this whole issue with a gun and a robbery over memorabilia.
Yes.
Does it worry you as a law enforcement officer that we have a potential killer here that went free?
Well, you know what, and that takes me back to the whole 94 case. You had police officers that weren't taking care of their business. You know, you had the whole situation with evidence being planted and all that. There's no setback on my side in believing that he was involved in his murder. Trust me, I know. I believe that he was involved in it, and by all accounts, he had a good, had a good line of attorneys. He got off, and this is where we got to say we trust our criminal justice system, right? We can't just go against the grain because we don't agree with the decision. It happened. He got off, and then in the civil trial, they held him liable. He has to pay for the rest of his life, right? But then let's look at the robbery case. Luckily, he wasn't in Dallas County. He'd have been on probation had that same situation happened in Dallas County. But this man got 9 years. So now he do his 9 years, and now they got to decide whether that's enough time for him to go back to the street.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the people that know him best, I mean, they talk at length about how this is a guy that's a narcissist and he's got a switch that goes off and that he may have even compartmentalized any memory of this thing away, which makes you totally, completely nuts and psychotic. What is your take, Wendy?
Yeah, I think what's happening here and what the media is doing and just the general population is we're conflating two different issues. I think that there's a rare group of people who do not believe that O.J. Simpson is guilty of the killings of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. However, that's not what his probation hearing was for. It was for the robbery, the armed robbery of his old memorabilia. And quite frankly, for him to do 9 years and upwards of 33 years for stealing his own memorabilia would be almost a slap in the face of our justice
system. It was an armed robbery. I mean,
it doesn't matter. It was an armed robbery, and he had done his time. He had done 9 years. You know, my brother serves honorably every day for the NYPD. So I know what it's like. I know what the criminal justice system is like. I know people who put their lives on the line every day, so my hat's off to the Dallas police officers and those who lost their lives. However, we cannot say because of, you know, ill will that we hold towards him for the killings of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, that he should still be in jail. No, this is our justice system. We cannot continue to question our justice system because, as you rightfully said, you alluded to this, he'll be a murderer walking around the streets. Yes, but George Zimmerman is also walking around in the streets. There's people who are murderers who are walking around in the streets.
I don't see that the evidence
crime,
is the same. I followed both.
Crime,
hey, hang on a second.
Dr. Osefo, hang on a second.
I followed both cases very closely. And in the case of O.J. Simpson, remember, he was held liable in a civil trial.
Absolutely.
Which is a different standard, and there are questions about the venue and Gil Garcetti's decisions in that particular case at the time. Yes. But let's put all that aside. There was blood evidence. How did the blood get in the Bronco? The blood of Ron Goldman, the blood of Nicole Brown,
no,
the blood of O.J. Simpson? Hang on. How did it get in on his socks? How did it get in his bedroom?
Right. I think we're all in agreement. I think that for the first
time, people are probably on the phone saying
we think he did it. I for one think he did it.
Okay,
that's not what.
And you can think George Zimmerman did, but remember, you did have one eyewitness to the case, and the one eyewitness did say that he saw that George Zimmerman was having his head grounded and pounded into cement and concrete, and that George Zimmerman was screaming for his life, and we all heard the scream.
Absolutely. The scream that we heard, they said, when they asked both of the mothers, Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin's mother, whose scream was that?
You had
both
an eyewitness that placed, excuse me, I know the case better than you do. You had an eyewitness that placed George Zimmerman on the bottom, and Trayvon Martin was pounding and grounding his head into concrete.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what, Sean? Let's put that whole thing in context. Now, regardless of what happened with the whole whole media fake news story with the Skittles and all that stuff, whatever, right? But let's forget all that. If your life is at risk, you're at risk of losing your life at that point, regardless of who we're talking about. Let's forget that whole situation and think about it for what it is. An individual who's having their head beat in. That individual has the right and the ability to use deadly force to protect themselves. Now, how that Trayvon Martin situation played out and him becoming the hero, I don't know. But I do know that an individual who's having their head beat in, they do have a right to protect themselves.
All right,
and
I got to leave it there.
Situation.
Thank you both for being with us. We appreciate it. Sergeant, thank you. Dr. Wendy Osefo, thank you. 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. We'll get to some calls when we get back. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue. It's the Sean Hannity Show. Now let's get to our busy phones and, of course, our Friday Florida Georgia Line concert series coming up. Diamond and Silk will check in our final half hour. Put a smile on your face as well. All right, let's get to our busy phones here. Shirley, California. Shirley, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. I just wanted to touch on OJ. I had a member of the family who drove the sheriff's bus because he was a L.A. County sheriff, taking and transporting OJ back and forth to court during the murder.
Right.
And he said OJ, first thing he did when he got into the van that morning was, can anything be held against me that I say here? Am I being recorded? And they said, no. He said, I did it.
You know, he did say that, and they heard it? Did he ever report it?
No, they weren't allowed. They were transporting him. They weren't allowed to say anything. But after the trial was over and he got off, the friend of the family told us that story.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? Unbelievable.
It's too bad they couldn't have held it against him.
You know, it was so obvious, though, and it was a sad moment for the country. I mean, you had such different reactions to the verdict. I mean, it was shocking. It was a shocking moment for the country.
Yeah,
and it's sad because it was in many ways broken down along. You saw the racial divide in the country, and it's not good for the country. I mean, if he could kill these two people, he can kill anybody. I never understood why there was that divide, but, you know, hopefully, the healing that we need in this country will desperately come about. Anyway, thanks, Shirley. Appreciate it. 800-941-SHAWN. Rob in Tallahassee. Rob, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
I'm doing fantastic. I think Scaramucci's going to do a great job, and you're doing a fantastic job. We appreciate how you represent us. The question or the point I want to make is, you know, we learned early in sports you got to keep your eye on the ball. You know, the two major health problems we have are type 2 diabetes and obesity, and the federal government entitlement programs, as you've pointed out, have been major contributors to those two problems.
You know, I got to tell you something. This is really important here. We need the best communications possible because this is a White House under assault more than anybody else. The president needs to focus on the agenda that got him elected. We need to help those people that have been suffering, although we got a lot of good economic news this week and today, but nobody in the media will focus on it. They're going to focus on Russia, Russia. Sean Spicer, quit. Sean Spicer is going to be on TV tonight. And Sean Spicer, I spoke with him earlier today. I don't want to divulge our private conversation, but he has a very interesting reason why he's leaving. And everybody thinks they know and they don't know. And then you get all the false speculation. Well, Reince Priebus and Scaramucci hate each other. Well, they're going to be on together tonight. So if they really hated each other, you know, I guess they wouldn't be on TV tonight. But this is the environment that we all now find ourselves living in. It's very difficult. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN is a toll-free telephone number. All right, we got a fun final half hour of the program today as we got our Florida-Georgia Line Friday concert series coming up. Then we got, remember Diamond and Silk? I don't know where they have been. It's they helped the president on the campaign trail. Two of the funniest people I've ever met. Two of the nicest people I've ever met. So we'll check in with them today, and we'll get to more of your calls. 800-941-SHAWN as we continue on this Friday. You know, I was talking with Linda the other day, and I'm like, all right, where is my friends Diamond and Silk? I haven't seen or heard from them in forever. Of course, they became famous on the campaign trail supporting President Trump. And I'm like, well, find them. We got to put them on the show. I haven't talked to them in for a while. They're just the greatest duo. Let's remind you of how amazing these two women are.
Silk, girl, who goes into this week's bowl of stupid, girl?
Well, Diamond, Diamond, Diamond. This week, bowl of stupid goes to C, N, and N.
Yeah, we call them N and N.
Yes.
At the N because they're nasty and they're always being naughty.
Yes.
Well, C, N, and N, mm-hmm. You're back in the bowl once again.
That's right.
You know, the very fake news you all got caught.
Yes.
Some of their staff members on camera talking about the biasness that they feel towards the president.
Uh-huh.
Talking about people like Kellyanne Conway and saying nasty and mean things.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they got caught. Uh-huh. Mm. And see, now we know that they're biased. And they keep saying that, the president should stick with the facts.
Uh-huh.
Well, CNN, you should stick with the facts.
That's right.
You should stick with the facts and stop distorting the truth.
Uh-huh.
You should stick with the facts and stop giving us your opinion.
Yes.
You should stick with the facts and stop telling us what you think. Stick with the facts yourself.
Yes.
So who you should be talking to is yourself. But, and see, this is why you are in the bowl of stupid.
Yes.
Once again.
Uh-huh.
Because you always distort and tell lies. You distort the truth.
Yes.
You take up something and you make it up.
Uh-huh.
And you make it to be true.
Yep.
And then you try to feed us a narrative.
Uh-huh.
When are you going to get it through your head? We're not buying it anymore.
No more.
We're not buying it anymore.
No more.
And that's why this week you are in the bowl of stupid. Silk,
yes?
Get this bowl on out of here, girl.
Gladly,
get it on out of here.
Gladly, gladly, gladly.
That's what we need on the show, a bowl of stupid. Anyway, Diamond and Silk join us now. Where have you guys been? You don't reach out to me. You don't call. You don't write. I don't hear from you. We became great friends on the campaign trail, and now it's like all of a sudden I'm like, Diamond and Silk are missing. Where have you been? What have you been doing?
We've been very busy. We've been very busy. We are still out here, baby, stomping for our president now, President Trump.
Yeah.
Going after the biased media, going after anybody that's trying to bring down this administration. So we're still out here loud and clear.
Yes, that's right.
Well, You know, I just remember the bits that you guys were doing during the campaign. You know, you think about the high tension that goes on during these campaigns, and getting to know both of you, too, was a great honor. Remember we met at Pastor Daryl Scott's church? That was fun, and yeah. I saw you at a couple of other events when mm-hmm. I was interviewing then-candidate Trump. And
Now,
have you been to the White House yet?
Yes, we've been to the White House. As a matter of fact, we were just up there for the 4th of July celebration.
That's right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And did you get to go to the Oval Office and everything?
I haven't been quite in the Oval Office, so we've been inside the White House. I think they call it the West Wing.
You're in the West Wing, yeah.
So we've been.
That means you were a few feet. You're a few feet away from the Oval Office.
Yes.
And have you seen the president since he's been inaugurated?
We've seen the president, but we haven't had time to sit down and chat with the president.
No. We need to get a dinner with you guys and the president. Because I don't think he's elected president, but for Diamond and Silk, you guys were amazing.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I'm trying to do my little part, too. I'm trying to fight hard every day. I can't stand these people. They're trying to hurt our friend.
They really are. I tell you, nobody. We've never seen anything like this.
Absolutely.
When it comes to politics and when it comes to someone deliberately trying to take down the president of the United States for no reason, going after him, going after his family, attacking his family. It's crazy. We got to continue to talk. We got to continue to cry out about this here and let the people know to stop letting people feed you a narrative and control you, especially the left-wing media.
So basically, we have to continue to educate everybody and let them know what's really going on.
Let me ask you that. Let's use CNN as an example. You're talking about that. When you watch CNN, what are you thinking?
I want to throw up. I get so nauseous. I get so mad. My pressure start going up because I know it's lies. Mm-hmm. They take one thing and they take his words out of context and then they just spin a narrative and expect for you to eat it, to bite it.
That's
and it's
right.
not going to work. We can see right through it. They're liars.
They're full of allegations, accusations, and speculations.
You know, let me tell you something. So,
information.
So fake Jake News, fake Jake Tapper over at CNN, he tries to attack me today. And so I just did a little background, a little research on fake Jake, and this is what I found. This is our friends at MRC TV found this, but, you know, the Democratic Committee, remember the email dumps, WikiLeaks, and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in one of the batch that was leaked, the correspondent, a guy by the name of Jason Sahar, a CNN writer and producer for The Lead with Jake Tapper. Now listen to the rest of this. He's seen writing to a DNC staffer, Pablo Manriquez, asking, "Oh, thanks for facilitating Luis coming on the program today and bearing with us through a melee of GOP nonsense and cancellations and all that. Any particular points that he'll want to make? We're going to stay Democratic focused." And then anyway, this guy Manriquez, he forwarded Sahar an email and to three other DNC staffers, quote, "Window closing on this. Need to know as soon as possible if we want to offer fake Jake Tapper questions to ask us."
Wow, interesting.
Isn't
well, that's
it?
How the fake news operate, and it sounds like Jake ain't nothing but a snake.
That's right.
Jake the snake.
Fake Jake the snake.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to get me more. You know, don't you think I get in enough trouble on my own? You guys really, you're gonna bring me there. You're going to take me there and get me in more trouble.
Listen,
Diamond, I have enough enemies out there. They're all trying to kill me already. Now I'm going to have to defend you guys and say that Diamond and Silk can say whatever they want on the Sean Hannity show, that I don't tell people what to say.
That's what you tell them.
That's right.
And if the shoe fit, wear it. And CNN, they need to stop that. Listen, it's time to bring our country together. The president is doing so many amazing, great things that's affecting everybody for the good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we need to focus on and not all of this other foolishness.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You know, we've been doing something on TV, and I gave the last word this week. Tommy Lahren did it last week. My buddy Terrence Williams did it. I don't know if you know Terrence. He's so funny. He's a great guy. I got to give the last word to Diamond and Silk in one of these weeks coming up. Would you guys be willing to do that?
Oh, absolutely, yes. We surely will.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Anything
well, listen, I want you guys
to
have a great weekend. Love you both. And I keep up the good fight. I admire you both so much, and you become amazing friends. I wish you the best.
Thank you. Love you more.
Thank you. Love you more.
Love you both more. Wow. They're the nicest people you ever want to meet. So fun. So funny. Have a great day. And they helped the president a lot. Take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue straight ahead. That's going to wrap things up for today. All right, we got a big show. Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Got a very important opening monologue. All the news that's been breaking today. Sean Spicer for an exclusive interview. He resigned today from the White House. Pat Buchanan tonight. Judge Jeanine Pirro, Ari Fleischer, and so much more. All right, so set your DVR. Yeah, of course I'm working Friday. Why do you doubt that I'm working Friday? I don't take off Fridays. I'm not a congressman or a senator. Amazing that they're staying an additional 2 weeks and not on their August recess. Anyway, have a great, great weekend, summer weekend, and we'll see you tonight at 10 and back here on Monday.